This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In today's secular world, the Bible is viewed with a lot of skepticism. Among many people in the world and students throughout the universities of higher learning, the Bible holds very little credibility. Too many view it as archaic and out of date when compared to modern relativism. And much of this is due to the many arguments over the years that have transpired among Christian scholars, professors of higher education, and the growing humanistic outlook that has been developing since the days of the industrial and social revolutions of the 18th century. In particular, the book of Daniel has been under scrutiny by liberal and conservative scholars for centuries about when it was written. The liberal group, they believe, it was written in the 2nd century BC, while the conservatives, well, they believe it was written in the 7th century BC. Is there any proof we could use to determine who's really right? Because it does make a great deal of difference concerning Daniel's prophecies and consequently the Bible's truthful reliability. So stay with us as we explore the two sides of this question on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What we're going to be talking about today is the book of Daniel. And there's a controversy about the book of Daniel among liberal and conservative theologians and scholars. What we will do is we will address what the liberals think as to when the book of Daniel was written and why their evidence for their contention is false, in my opinion. And I'm going to provide you with that information on today's program. Now, when you look at the liberal viewpoint on when the book of Daniel was written, they call it the Maccabean date hypothesis. And the reason they call it that is they believe it was written around 166 BC during the Maccabean period of Jewish history. The conservative theologians, the conservative scholars, of course, believe that Daniel was written in the 500s BC because they believe, as the book of Daniel tells us, that Daniel was a prisoner within the court of Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar took over Judah, he took many of these young people into captivity to work in his court within his kingdom, and Daniel was one of those accomplished young people among the Jews. So there is this controversy within the liberal camp and the conservative camp as to when the book of Daniel was written. Now, here's why it's a big deal. When you read the book of Daniel, you find that Daniel was talking about things that were going to occur in the future. After the Babylonian kingdom, Daniel talks about the next kingdoms that were going to come upon the earth in that particular area of the world. He knew through God working through him that the Medes and the Persians would take over from the Babylonians. The Greeks would then take over from the Persians. And finally, the Roman Empire would take over. So the reason the liberals are in that camp and the conservatives are in this camp is because the conservatives believe in the validity of the Bible, that the Bible tells us prophetic things that are going to happen in the future. And this is another reason to believe in the validity of the Bible. The liberals are not as into the supernatural as the conservatives are. They believe if the book was written in the 100s BC, then the writer would have lived through the Mede and the Persian Empire, would be living in the Greek Empire. And it's interesting to note that the Roman Empire was not on the scene yet. So they don't have a good answer as to that particular part of the prophecy, but that's for another day to discuss. We're going to look at the argument the liberals lay out, and point by point, I am going to address those arguments and show you that they are very wanting and very lacking. Before I go any further, though, I'd like to offer you some free literature and also a free CD on today's program. The literature I'd like to offer you today is titled Daniel 70 Weeks Prophecy. Since the publication of Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth in the early 70s, dispensationalists have written volumes on such subjects as the secret rapture, the coming of the Antichrist, the significance of the establishment of the State of Israel, the covenant the Antichrist will supposedly make with Israel, and a prophetic clock that supposedly stopped ticking in the time of Christ, but will resume ticking once the Antichrist appears and the church is snatched out. All these events, dispensationalists claim, fit within the framework of Daniel 70 weeks prophecy. But is this true? Get this booklet to learn more. We also want to offer you a sermon CD that is part of a series. The title of the CD is Here Comes the Judge, Number 1. This CD addresses the first chapter of the book of Daniel. Once you get that CD and booklet, you can then order the remaining CDs in this series. Get Here Comes the Judge, chapters 2 through 5, Here Comes the Judge, 6 through 9, and Here Comes the Judge, 10 through 14, after you receive the initial first CD in that series. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website to order. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to the website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, friends. Good to have you with us on today's program. We're looking at the controversy around when the book of Daniel was written. Liberal theologians and scholars believe it was written around 166 BC. Conservative theologians and scholars believe it was written in the 500s BC when Daniel was a captive in the kingdom of the Babylonians. Now, I want to talk about why there is this disagreement amongst the liberals and the conservatives. And when we look at the reasons that the liberals give, we will find that the liberal reasons are very lacking, very wanting in real solid proof. So that is what we're going to do on today's program. Now, to get things rolling, one of the reasons the liberals bring out for believing that the book of Daniel was written in the 100s BC has to do with a biblical manuscript called the Masoretic Text. Now, the Masoretic Text is one of the ancient Bible manuscripts that we found, and the Masoretic Text is dated around 900 AD. Now, in the Masoretic Text, the book of Daniel is mentioned as one of the writings in the Old Testament. So it is associated with books like Proverbs, Psalms, the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. It is not mentioned as one of the prophetic books. So the liberals seize upon this and they state that the canon of the prophets, the decision to put the prophetic books in the Bible was from about 300 BC to 200 BC, and that if an ancient manuscript like the Masoretic Text has Daniel associated with the writings rather than the prophetic books, then that might cast doubt on when the book of Daniel would have been written. If it wasn't written at the time that the canon of the prophetic books was being put together, which ended around 200 BC, then it was probably written soon after that, since it was associated with the writings of the Old Testament rather than the prophetic books of the Old Testament. Now, there's a big problem with that argument, and here's the problem. We have other ancient manuscripts that associate Daniel with the prophetic books. Let me give you an example. The Septuagint is an ancient manuscript. It's the Greek written Old Testament. And the dating of the Septuagint is from about 275 BC to 100 BC. And within the Old Testament Greek Septuagint, you find the book of Daniel associated with the prophetic books that we are familiar with in our Bible today. So that flies in the face of the liberal viewpoint. Again, remember when the Masoretic text came along, 900 AD. The Septuagint predates that, and the Septuagint was around before the canon of the prophetic books was determined and finally got the imprint of the Jewish religious authorities at that time. Another point to make on this is Josephus, the famous historian, he associates the book of Daniel as being part of the prophetic books of the Old Testament. Josephus's writings predate the Masoretic text by 600 to 700 years. This idea that the liberals have about the Masoretic text and where the book of Daniel is mentioned in there is a very weak argument because of this other evidence I have just laid before you. Another argument that the liberals make is that in an apocryphal book, the book of Ecclesiasticus, again, that's an apocryphal work that is not in the canon of Scripture. The ancient Jews did not decide that that was a biblical book. The Protestants do not place that in the canon of Scripture. The Catholics do have that in their Bible, but in this book of Ecclesiasticus, Daniel is not mentioned within the list of the writers there. Now again, having said what I said earlier, this is not a big deal because we got to remember the book of Ecclesiasticus is an apocryphal work. It's not part of the Bible for good reason. So we also note that the book of Ezra is not mentioned in the list of writers in the book of Ecclesiasticus either, but the liberal scholars don't seem to have a problem with placing the book of Ezra where they place it in the Bible. Again, this is getting back to the liberals who don't believe that God is a supernatural being who can give Daniel information that foretells what is going to occur in the future. You see their slant through some of the evidence that they bring forward. Another major point to bring out in this controversy between the liberals and the conservatives is this. The idea that Daniel was not one of the biblical books originated with a pagan Neoplatonic philosopher from the 3rd century AD. Do the research and you will find the first individual who cast doubt on the validity of the book of Daniel was a pagan individual who had issues with Christianity. He had no evidence at the time. He just spouted off that he believed that the book of Daniel was put together as a pious fraud by Jews who were living during the Maccabean time period because they were trying to get other Jews to join the Maccabean movement to fight against the authorities that were over them. Porphyry believed that this writer was a zealot who was involved with this Maccabean revolt at that time. Again, Porphyry didn't have any evidence. So let's move forward to the 1700s AD. From the time Porphyry wrote in the 3rd century AD until the 1700s, there wasn't much of a controversy. Christian apologists were able to eat Porphyry for lunch because Porphyry had no evidence to cast doubt on the book of Daniel. But what happened in the 1700s? Well, we know what happened. The liberal scholars came on the scene with their new ideas about the Bible that cast doubt on various biblical books. So they began to investigate Daniel, and they believed that they found evidence to cast doubt on the validity of Daniel. I'm going to provide you with some of that evidence today, and you will see that this evidence is non-existent, in my opinion. So let's take a look at some of this quote-unquote evidence of the liberal scholars. One example we can find by reading Daniel 1 and verse 1. In Daniel 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God." Now here's the problem the liberals bring up. Hold your place in Daniel 1:1 if you have it, and turn back to Jeremiah 46 and verse 2. Jeremiah 46 and 2. And understand, if you look at the history here, you'll see that when Babylon came into the land to besiege Judah, they also did a number on the Egyptians. And history tells us that what we're reading here in Jeremiah 46 verse 2 is contemporaneous with what we're reading in Daniel 1 and verse 1. So let's see what it says in Jeremiah 46 2 that causes this uproar amongst the liberals. Jeremiah 46 2 says this, "Against Egypt concerning the army," or let me begin in verse 1. "The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the nations," against Egypt, "concerning the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, and which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, defeated in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah." So here's what they're saying. They're saying, well, Jeremiah says that this siege that the Babylonians brought on that part of the world that included Egypt and Judah, that occurred in the 4th year of Jehoiakim's reign, where Daniel is saying it occurred in the 3rd year of Jehoiakim's reign. Now, here's the problem with that contention. At the time these scholars were coming up with these ideas in the 1700s, scholars were not aware of the ancient Near East dating system. The dating system was different amongst the Israelis and the Babylonians versus the kingdom of Judah. In other words, when a king began to rule in Judah, they understood that his reign began as soon as he began to reign. So let's say, for argument's sake, that Jehoiakim began to reign in 543 BC in the 4th month of the year. Under the Babylonian and the Israeli dating system, they would not start counting his reign beginning until the beginning of the next calendar year. The Jews started it as soon as the king got on the throne. The Israeli dating and the Babylonian dating did not begin until the beginning of the next calendar year. So that's why we have a difference of 1 year between what Daniel was saying was the reign of Jehoiakim versus what Jeremiah was saying. Jeremiah was under the Judean system, where Daniel, living in Babylon, would have written under that Babylonian system of reckoning when a king took the throne. That's more internal evidence that Daniel really was in Babylon when you look at it. Now, again, that's a weak argument, liberals. Many of them do not hold to that particular example anymore, but some still do. Another example that they come up with is in the book of Daniel. When we read in Daniel 4 and verse 7, we read this: "Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation." Now, why is this a problem? You also find this similar scripture in Daniel 5, 7. The liberals say this: the Chaldeans were understood as being the master race at this time in history. To use the term Chaldeans with the word magicians and astrologers was to diminish who the Chaldeans were. They were the master race, or so they thought. But remember who's writing this book. A Chaldean is not writing this book. This is Daniel, who comes from Judah, is writing this book. So why would he have to show this deference to the Chaldeans? But another idea here is this. When you look at the Hebrew for this word Chaldean, and you look at the word soothsayer, you find in English, when we bring it into the English, the word Chaldean is K-A-S-D-A-Y. The word soothsayer, when we bring it into the English, is K-A-S-D-U. Some believe that a scribe may have made a mistake when they wrote Chaldean here in the association of magicians and astrologers and soothsayer terminology, because the word Chaldean was so similar to the term for soothsayer at that time in history. But another point to make about this is Daniel does use the word Chaldean in the book of Daniel in another location. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 8, notice what it says: "Therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews." Here he's using it in its proper context of the people who were under the Babylonian rule. The Chaldean ethnic group was under their rule. But even going back to mentioning Chaldeans with soothsayers and magicians, they were likely Chaldeans. They were probably of that ethnic stock. But look at this, folks. Liberals are using this as evidence to say the book of Daniel was not written in the 500s BC. Is that evidence that it wasn't written in the 500s BC because a scribe may have made a mistake, or Daniel was not showing deference to the Chaldeans? That is flimsy evidence to me, if you got my opinion on it. Now, let me give you a little more information on what else these liberals are saying to cast doubt on the book of Daniel. Over in Daniel chapter 5, I'm going to pick it up there in verse 29. It says this, Daniel 5, 29, "Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old." Now, why is this a problem for the liberals? Here's why it's a problem. If you look at what the ancient Greek historian Herodotus wrote in about 450 BC, after the demise of the Babylonian kingdom, Herodotus said that the last king of Babylon was Nabonides. Daniel was saying the last king of Babylon was a fellow named Belshazzar. Now, here's the problem. Nabonides was Daniel's father. And once again, oath tablets have been discovered since this particular argument was put forward. Oath tablets were discovered that date back to 543 BC. And what these oath tablets tell us about the Babylonian kingdom is that Belshazzar, in the 12th year of his father's reign, in the 12th year of Nabonides' reign, Belshazzar, his son, became an associate regent. He was a co-king with Nabonides during Nabonides' reign. We've learned this from oath tablets that were unearthed during an archaeological dig. That would make Belshazzar on equal footing with his father. And you will find in ancient Near Eastern history that many sons began to rule while their father was still enthroned as the king. So there's no problem here with Belshazzar being named the last king by Daniel, because Daniel got the story right. Nabonides was probably getting older, and Belshazzar was taking over the reign and rule over this kingdom for his father. Another problem is you will find that Belshazzar is mentioned, or the Nebuchadnezzar is mentioned as the father of Belshazzar. And we have to, the liberals say, well, wait a minute. Nabonides was the father of Belshazzar, not Nebuchadnezzar. But once again, going back to ancient history, you will find that many times a grandfather or a great-grandfather was also called the father of a grandson. This is something that was popular within the culture at that time. You will find even within the Bible that we find biblical figures being called the father of individuals who they were the grandfather of. I don't have time to go there, but in Genesis chapter 28, verse 13, in Genesis 32, verse 9, in 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 8 through 15, you will see examples of this where the grandfather or the great-grandfather is mentioned as being the father of a grandson. Is that evidence to not believe that the book of Daniel was written in the 500s BC? To me, that is very flimsy evidence. And on a future program, we're going to look at the conservative evidence for why the book of Daniel had to be written in the time that we believe it was written, the 500s BC, when Daniel was a captive in the kingdom of Babylon. Please get that booklet we talked about, Daniel 70 Weeks Prophecy. Please get that CD, Here Comes the Judge, number one. They will help you learn more about the fascinating book of Daniel. Call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website to order, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Get Daniel 70 Weeks Prophecy, get Here Comes the Judge number one, and get with us next time for another Armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.